in the book of Nehemiah tonight, and keep your Bibles open, if you would, to that book, because I'm going to direct you to several scriptures as we go through the message tonight. You've heard me say before that Nehemiah is one of my heroes from the Bible. I always like people in the Bible that get things done. Joshua was one of my heroes. He tore down a wall. Nehemiah is one of my heroes. He built a wall. So it doesn't matter where you're tearing down or building, as long as you're getting something done for God, that's the people I like in the Bible. But let me just tell you, Nehemiah was a man of God. He was used of God in a great way to accomplish a big task. You that have read the book and you that know the story, in 52 days, he led a building project that ended up, and again, less than 2 months, where the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt. And in that process, in the process of starting that building process, and in that process of starting that project and getting permission and getting what he needed to complete it, he stood with boldness not only before a king, but he stood with boldness before his people, the Jews, and he stood with boldness before his enemies. He was a man that, under God's guidance, set a goal and accomplished it. And as he accomplished that goal, he overcame obstacles, he overcame opposition, he overcame slander, he overcame the threat of physical harm, and again, he did something big for God. And who here tonight would not want to do that same thing for God? Who here tonight would not want to be charged by God to get something done? And by the way, anything we do for God is big. I mean, you may think, well, you know, mine's not as big as somebody else's, or mine may not be as important. Look, when God calls you to do something, getting that thing done is a big thing in the work and scheme of God. And if he calls you to do it, nobody else will be able to accomplish it like you. And so who among us would not like to be like Nehemiah? Who among us would not like to be called of God to get something done, set a goal, and then overcome anything that Satan puts in our path to get that job done for him? Now, I want you to listen, and we'll read a little bit more, but we read it in our scripture reading. I want you to listen to the testimony of Nehemiah. Not one time in the whole book of Nehemiah did he take personal credit for getting done what God called him to do. Not one time in the book of Nehemiah did he say, hey, look at these walls. I built them in 52 days. Not one time did he even point to the people and said, here's why these walls were built. Now, he complimented the people on several occasions. He said they had a mind to work, and they worked hard. But he says, it's not the people that got it done. He said, it wasn't my wisdom, it wasn't my strength, it wasn't me. He says, if you want to know how this job was accomplished, if you want to know how this project got done, if you want to know how we did everything we did, here is the secret. The good hand of my God upon me. What Nehemiah was saying, hey, it wasn't me, it wasn't the people. Yeah, they worked hard. It wasn't them. It wasn't even the favor that we got from the king. The reason this job got done is because of the good hand of our God upon us. And you want to know something? It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed one bit. How do you think, for example, our Sunday school teachers every week can get up in front of their class and open the Word of God and bring you a Sunday school lesson that's interesting and that speaks to your heart, and it's like the Holy Spirit speaking to you? I mean, look at our Sunday school teachers. Other than one of them who went to Bible college, the rest of us are, well, yeah, but you know what I'm going to say, right, Brother Leonard? I mean, we haven't been to Bible college. How do you think we present a lesson? How do you think we impart the truth? The good hand of our God upon us. Look at our song leader. Now, he did have a couple of classes in college about how to lead singing, but how do you think he does what he does? The good hand of his God upon him. What about her pianist? I know she went to college. I know she practices hard. Do you know how she touches our heart when she plays? That's not practice. That's not a college education. That's the hand of her God upon her. How about those that sang? Bob and Virginia this morning, and Barb and Adam tonight, and others that come and sing for us, and they touch our heart and they get us ready for the message that follows. Is it talent? Yeah, they have talent, but it's not talent. Is it that they practice? Yeah, they practice, but it's not practice. It's the good hand of their God upon them. How about our junior church workers? Man, we got a seat engineer that preaches in junior church. And the kids hear the gospel. I mean, it's a little bit discouraging to me when I say, okay, it's time for junior church. Those kids bounce up out of their seat and they run back there because they want to go to junior church. It's not, I mean, Brian studies. I know he studies. I know he prays. But it's the good hand of his God upon him. Why do you think you have a little kid that wants to escape and then says, bye, Grandma, when he gets ready to leave? It's the good hand of our God upon the nursery workers. Why do you think we have a treasurer that for these 18, 19, 20 years keeps all the money straight because of the good hand of our God upon him? Why do you think you have a pastor that sometimes preaches a good sermon? It's not because he went to Bible college. He studies and he prays, but it's because the good hand of my God upon me. Now listen, if that was Nehemiah's secret, and it was, and if that's the secret of those who serve today, and it is, then the question for the evening is this. How do I get the good hand of my God upon me? How do I get the good hand of my God to touch my life, to touch my efforts, to touch what I do for God? 3 points tonight. Number one, live right. Live right. Nehemiah realized that when he heard about what was happening in Jerusalem, that the people didn't have a political problem. When his brother came and told him about the distress that Jerusalem was in, he realized that the people didn't have an economic problem. He realized that they did not have a societal problem. He got right to the heart of the issue, and he says, there's a sin problem. A sin problem. You see, you can have the best political system that exists. You can have a thriving economic system. You can have a society that's ideal in every way. But if there is sin in the camp, it doesn't make a difference, and we're not going to have the good hand of our God upon us. And before Nehemiah could go and lead the people in doing that great work for God, he had to deal with the sin. You don't need to turn to it, but let me read some verses for you from Nehemiah chapter 1. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thy ear now be attentive and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Nehemiah said, I'm not starting with anybody else. I'm starting with myself. I have sinned, and I want to confess my sin before you, God, because I know that I can't have your good hand upon me until I take care of the sin problem within my life. And I know that this people cannot have your good hand upon them until they confess their sin as well. In verse 8, he said, Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. And that's what had happened. The people had turned against God. And God had done exactly what he said he was going to do. He came in and destroyed the Jerusalem. He broke down the walls. He destroyed the temple. And he scattered the people of God all over the then known world. Most of them were carried to Babylon. The rest flee and went to other people. And then he says, We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou hast commanded thy servant Moses. Since the first man and woman, since Adam and Eve, since the Garden of Eden, the reason that mankind has not, down through the ages, had the good hand of their God upon them is sin. Is sin. I read a story. A mom sent her 12-year-old daughter down to the basement to the freezer to get some meat for dinner. And this little 12-year-old girl came up and said to her daddy, Daddy, there is a lot of yucky stuff in the freezer. Now, they had bought a whole cow, and they put it in the freezer. Daddy, there is a lot of yucky stuff in the freezer. And Daddy said, What do you mean? And she said, Well, I got down there, and I saw a package named liver. Ugh. And I got down there, Daddy, and I saw a package named tongue. Ooh. And I got down there, Daddy, and I saw a package named ear. Ooh. And Daddy said, Well, what do you want me to do about it? And the little girl said, Daddy, don't worry about it. I took care of it. And Daddy said, What did you do? And she said, I turned all the packages over. So when I go down there the next time, I don't have to see them. And that's exactly what we've done with sin. We've renamed it. We've called it something else. And we've turned it over so that we don't have to look at it. We don't call abortion murder. We call it a woman's choice. We don't call homosexuality an abomination. We call it an alternate lifestyle. We don't call living together before you get married fornication. We call it trying each other out. And sin is no longer sinful. It's no longer black. It's dressed up. We call it by different names and it becomes respectful. Let me just tell you tonight. You can take a pig. You can wash him up. You can put a suit or a dress on him depending on if he's a... What's a male pig called, Brother Clint? A boar or a sow. You can put rings in his or her ears and a bell in his nose. You can spray him or her with perfume and make him smell good. But it's still a pig. Still a pig. And we can dress sin up. And we can call it by different names. And we can turn over the packages so that we can't see what it is. But in God's sight, it's still sin. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15, the Bible says, The way of the transgressors is hard. In Proverbs 28, verse 13, the Bible says, He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. And the devil can come in and tell us all sorts of lies about what sin is, but I'll remind you that the devil is a liar. He's a cheat. He's a coward. He doesn't play fair. All his apples have worms. All his checks bounce. All his currency is counterfeit. And sin is a problem as long as we keep it in our life. But I thank God that we have a remedy for sin. We have a cure for sin. We have a fix for sin. And the remedy and the cure and the fix for sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a sin problem. And that sin problem is going to take you straight to hell. But I got some good news for you tonight. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that when He went to the cross, He took all of your sin and He took all of my sin. It was placed on Him. And when He died on the cross, He died for every one of my past, current, and future sins. And they're all paid for. And when He cried out from the cross, it is finished. He said, the transaction's done. It's paid for in full. And if you'll receive me, I'll make you right with God. I'll take care of your sin problem. I thank God that the blood of Jesus Christ covers up all our sin. Now, Nehemiah could see it coming because he said in verse 9, in chapter 1, but if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost parts of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Picture from heaven. Picture of heaven. Scattered apart from God. But if we'll come to Jesus Christ, He'll gather us to that place where He's placed His name, heaven. And I'm glad even after we get saved. You know, by the way, when you get saved, you don't quit being a sinner. We still sin. But I'm glad He put that verse in the Bible, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You want the good hand of a good God upon you? Then get sin out of your life. Confess your sin. Try to live as right as you can before God. You've heard me say it before, and I can't remember somebody quoted, I was in their presence when they quoted it a few days ago. You can't stop that bird from landing on your head, but you can sure stop them from making a nest there. And the sin that besets us is that sin that we let stay in our life. That's what keeps the good hand of a good God upon us. Number two, I got to hurry. Not only live right, but serve others. You want the good hand of your God upon you? Then live for others. Did you ever stop and think? Nehemiah had it made. He was a king's cupbearer. Had a good life. All his needs were met. He had certain privileges because he was close to the king. I mean, he saw the king every single day. Had a life of ease. But when word came from Jerusalem that the city was in distress and the people were in distress, Nehemiah got a burden. Again, you don't need to turn to it, but listen. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? He said, king, why shouldn't I look sad? I just got word that the capital city of my home nation, the city of Jerusalem, because the walls are tore down, people are in distress, the people are in trouble. And Nehemiah just didn't get a burden. He wanted to do something about it. Again, listen. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he has spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. You know what most of our problems are? We get a burden, but then we get over it before we do anything about it. I read a story of a of a pastor that was late coming into the services. And one of his men went back into his office and knocked at the door and saw the pastor over by the window looking out the window. And he said, "Pastor, it's time to start the service. In fact, it's late." And when the pastor turned away from the window, the man noticed that tears were coming down his eyes. And he said, "I'm sorry. I'll come start the service right now, but I was just looking over the city." It was an inner city church. And he said, "I was just looking over the people that live next to our church, and I was just thinking about them, how many of them have never heard the story of Jesus? How many of them never been saved? How many of them don't know what it is to look forward to heaven? How many of them, as Al testified a moment ago, have to go through life without the presence of God? I just got a burden for him, and I was just standing here praying for him." And the man said to him, "Don't worry, Pastor. You'll get over it." And the pastor said, "I know, that's what I'm afraid of. That's why I'm crying. I don't want to get over it. I don't want to ever forget that there's people out there that don't know Jesus." Let's never forget that every single day we run across people that don't know Jesus. They're in our families. They're in our neighborhoods. They're in our workplace. They're in our schools. We walk by them every day. We don't say a word to them about Jesus. We never give them a tract. We never invite them to church. Don't ever get over the burden. If you want to have the good hand of a good God upon you, live right. Live for others. And then number four, work. Work. Nehemiah went to Jerusalem. He got letters to the governors to convey him safely there. He got letters to the folks that kept the forest to give him timber for the gates and for the walls. You go over to Nehemiah chapter 3, and we won't turn to it tonight because we're out of time, and you'll see how the people divvied themselves up along the walls of Jerusalem. And each one of them took a section, and some of them had gates that they built. And in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together to the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." And what came? When people start doing things for God, I don't care what year it is, I don't care what setting it is, here's what comes. First of all, comes criticism. "It came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, 'What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned?' Now Tobiah and the Amorite was by him, and he said, 'Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall.'" Might as well get ready for it. If you're going to do something for God, there are going to be critics. And if you want to keep the good hand of your good God upon you, you got to just take the criticism and say, "Hey, I'm not working." Nehemiah said, "Hey, Sanballat and Tobiah, I'm not working for you. I'm working for God. You can go ahead and make fun of me. You can go ahead and make fun of my work. But we're going to keep working." What came next? Conspiracy. And conspiracy is when all the critics get together. and come at you at a group. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Amorites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Conspiracy will come. Carnality will come. I won't take the time to read it, but in chapter 5, Nehemiah had to deal with that. You know, when you work for God, there are going to be times when you're going to get discouraged. And you know what happens when we get discouraged? We sort of turn on each other. And we start harping on each other. And that's what the people did back in Nehemiah's day. And Nehemiah had to come and said, "Hey, wait a minute! We're on the same team. We're working toward the same goal. We're working for the same God." Don't get mixed up in criticizing one another. And then here's the last thing that came. Criticism, conspiracy, carnality, and the fourth one was compromise. You know, when you're doing a work for God, the devil's going to send people along, see if they can get your eyes off the task. That's what they did to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 6, here's what the Bible says. "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, 'Hey, come, let us meet together in one of the village in the plain of Ono.'" Chapter 6, verse 2. "Then Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, 'Come and let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plains of Ono.' But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, 'I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down unto you?'" And when Satan sends people into your life and says, "Hey, come on down, let's talk about this," it may not be in the plain of Ono, but you know what you need to say to the people that try to discourage you? Ono. Huh? They wanted to meet in the plain of Ono, and Nehemiah said, "Oh no! I'm doing a great work. I can't come down, the work will cease. If I quit, everybody will quit. I'm not coming down. The work is too important." And I won't take the time to read it. But the Bible says four different times they came to him and said, "Hey, Nehemiah, come on down." Fourth time they said, "Hey, you're just setting you up. You're setting yourself up to be the king." And Nehemiah said, "Not true. Not true. I'm not coming down." And in chapter 6, verse 15, the Bible says, "So the wall was finished in 52 days. In 52 days. Why? Again, not because of Nehemiah. I mean, he was a good leader. But not because of him. Not because of the people. They worked hard. But not because of them. Because of the good hand of a good God upon them. So let me ask you tonight, what's God want you to do? What's God want you to do? You say, "Oh, I can't do that. I can't accomplish that. There's no way I can get that done. I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough talent. I don't have enough persistence." You're the kind of person that God can use, because He's looking for somebody that will depend on Him and know when it gets done that it wasn't him or her. It was the good hand of a good God upon that person. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for tonight. Thank You for the wonderful stories that are in this book. Tell us how we ought to live. Tell us how we ought to order our lives. I pray tonight, Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, help them to realize they got a sin problem. Help them to realize the only cure for that sin problem is coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, if there's only one person, just one, that's never received Jesus as their Savior, tonight would be the night that they come. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians. Help us have that desire.